Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of From Ohio. I'm Phil Smrek. Just as iconic and perhaps even more symbolic of the American ethos as the Statue of Liberty at one end of Manhattan stands another in Midtown. He's a walking, breathing, singing example of American ambition, ingenuity, paired with a respectful dose of Midwest manners and work ethic. Robert Burke is a hustler's hustler. To the multitudes of tourists and office workers who cross paths with him at his post in Times Square, he's better known as the Naked Cowboy. And he's from Ohio. I started off asking Robert to tell us about his upbringing in Green Hills.
My mother and father were divorced when I was younger, so I lived with my mother, and I was like a real rebellious kid, all that kind of stuff. Everything you could do wrong, I did. My dad was on the fire department, and we were starting fires in the forest that he would come, and we would be up in the trees watching him come and put it out. Again, I was just rebellious against my father, but I love my father, and I am my father now, and now I resent my mother for letting me get away with so much crap. I grew up in that kind of neighborhood. About the time I was about 17, 18, somebody turned me onto a book called Unlimited Power by Tony Robbins.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And I became a big motivational, right away. I went from zero to hero.
Okay.
My mother kept telling me, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do that. And that's why I did it, just because somebody told me I couldn't.
Yeah, right.
Tony Robbins was the first person in a book or whatever, but he said, you can do this, you can do this. Nobody ever kind of put it to my mind. My dad was always just kind of, he'd give us attention if we did good things, but he would just never give us attention for the crap that I was doing. So,
yeah.
I was begging for attention. I got this book. Next thing you know, I'm in college. I get a bachelor's degree.
And you went to school in Ohio?
Yeah, I went to Green Hills High School. Then I went to Raymond Walters, a community college.
Oh, okay.
And then I ended up in University of Cincinnati and got my bachelor's degree in political science.
Okay.
Then I went to Xavier for my master's, and I just kept going and going and going, trying to impress my dad. Whatever. Either way. 1998, I'm trying to be a model, an actor, or a country singer.
Okay.
Those are my resources, as Tony Robbins would say.
Okay.
You know, so I was, you know, I just want, he said it's all about outcome development. Who has what you want? And I want to be the richest, most famous guy in the world, driving around a limousine, penthouse in Times Square, and all this very Trumpian kind of, that's why I love Trump.
You
know, because I want to be rich and famous. That's what I loved about Trump.
Mm-hmm.
People, you know, then they got political about it later. Like, I'm a racist. I'm a homophobe. All that kind of stuff.
Right.
Whatever. I just wanted to be rich and famous.
Yeah.
So that was my mindset. 1998, after already sending naked pictures of me to everywhere and trying to get in magazines, I get a call from somebody to be in Playgirl magazine. Which is a naked magazine.
Yeah.
Great. And all my friends, that's going to ruin your modeling career. It's going to ruin, you know, like, I was like, that's the only thing I got going. I said, I appreciate all your help, but I'll take anything I can get.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to Venice Beach, California to shoot for Playgirl magazine. Charles Worthington was the photographer. Charles Worthington. He likes me to mention his name.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to Venice Beach, and I'm dressed completely in jeans, flannel shirt, playing out there with my guitar and the case open, and I had 2 cents thrown at me by a young African-American who thought I was stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And that photographer said, why don't you play in your underwear, do something different? So I returned the following day. He said he would come take pictures, and he's a major photographer, mm-hmm. So I thought that was cool. I went out my underwear, boots. Actually, I didn't even have boots at the time. I was wearing hiking boots with my jeans. I had no clue. So I come out in my bare feet, underwear, boots, and hat, and everyone takes pictures. The news comes. They happen to come through there, and I was on the LA News. I mean, everything. And the photographer saw how happy I was. Oh, I got all this attention. He called me, the little naked cowboy. So that's where that came about.
Wow.
I went back to Cincinnati,
okay,
Ohio, in the exact same outfit. Well, I mean, I went down to Fountain Square in Cincinnati,
mm-hmm.
And I just went down there, underwear, boots, and hat. And, again, I got arrested. I got a $68 citation, but I was on the Tricia Mackey morning show. You might remember her. And she brought me on, and it was like winter. And I came into my underwear. I still had hiking boots, for Christ's sake. Underwear, boots, and I still had, because I always wore hiking boots. They always say, why do you wear Fruit of the Looms? I was like, that's what my mom bought me since I was 5. It wasn't a conscious choice. It's just what I had. Anyway, so I get on the Mackey Morning Show. Yeah. I had already written out my goals. Most celebrated entertainer of all time. Mm-hmm. Richest, most famous man to ever live. Mm-hmm. Exponential growth of my name, brand, and net worth at all time. Mm-hmm. And the happiest, healthiest, wealthiest, most beautiful man. I mean, all the mantras, all the
right.
Deepak Chopra, all the yeah. Wayne Dyer, all the Dale Carnegie, Zig Ziglar.
Yeah.
I was like a fanatic. Wow. I'm going to be somebody.
Right.
I want to be somebody someday.
Yeah.
You can bet your bottom dollar I will. And that's Travis Tritt. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm saying all my song, everything I do is, it's like Tom Brady. He only plays football.
Right.
I'm only naked cowboy. Mm. Which is what's perplexing me about the new celebrity boxing. I'm like, am I getting off my path?
Yeah, tell me about that. Now, what's up with the celebrity boxing?
Hold on. Okay. You're losing focus because
right.
I am.
All right.
So, I play in my underwear, I go to Cincinnati, I get arrested, I make the news,
right.
And I already had all that Tony Robbins bluster in my background, so when I was on Trisha Mackey, I was like, look, I'm going to go all over the world, I'm going to be the most, a dignitary, all over the world, that's the most seller, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I went from Cincinnati after that interview, I was so inspired, I went down to Nashville. Called the police and the news on myself, because everywhere I went, the police and the news would show up, but not necessarily on time. So I would call them, wait 10 minutes, come out. Then I went to Atlanta, Georgia. I went down to Jacksonville, Florida. I went to Sarasota. I went to Key West. I went everywhere and just kept calling the news, police on myself, getting on the news, and I felt like I was the most famous guy in the world. I went all the way across the United States to the mountains, San Diego, up to San Francisco. I did the whole freaking route. I got arrested in Lafayette, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. And when I got arrested there, the piece went to Inside Edition, hard copy, Entertainment Tonight. So I realized that those little small bits could turn into, national kind of things. So I learned the ropes. I kept going around and around and around. I had a friend in Springdale. He hired me to dance for his wife on her birthday or sweetest day or something like that, because I was a kind of a male gigolo. No, I'm not really. I was just a common Cincinnati stripper. It's not right. Like New York where they have sex and they don't have. I mean, I had a girlfriend. I was just dating women, you know, just being fun. Anyway, that guy said, he's still a friend of mine to this day, love him, Jim and Sue Simpson, they're in Florida, and I go down there for 21 years now doing spring break and everything in mm-hmm. Sarasota, but he said, why don't you go north? You could get arrested every 2 hours instead of every 12 hours. You know, you're going south, mm-hmm. go north, go east, and then that's the reason why I ended up going up to upstate New York, and then I came to down to Times Square, and it was so busy here.
Mm-hmm.
That I just, day one, day two, day three, and now we're at 22 years, 3 months, 18 days, and I'm about 5 hours into it. My goal was that everybody would put their products on me. I would become so rich and famous that right. everybody would find some kind of tie-in or whatever.
What are some of them? You've got the oysters?
Well, the oysters is just another example of right. somebody who had, a guy, his name is Chris Cortuccio.
Okay.
He owns the Blue Island Oyster Company.
Okay.
He called. He was just traveling through here every day selling his oysters.
Yeah.
They found a huge oyster bed that they how are we going to get rid of all these oysters? Oysters are named based on where they're from.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the Long Island Sound are the New York City oysters. Mm-hmm. So when they say Peconic Bay or something like that, you know, they're New York City oysters, but only New Yorkers know Peconic Bay. So when he saw me, he's like trying to find a name, and he saw me many times in the rain, snow, sleet, and he's like, Nate Cowboy. So he just Googled it, called my manager. He said, oh, I want a license in Nate Cowboy Oyster. My manager famously says, he hung up on the guy. Like, come on. Called him back. And now my manager, Todd Rubenstein, he owns Nate Cowboy Enterprises. He's the West Coast distributor. He has Vegas, California, Arizona. He is the number one distributor of Blue Island Oyster Company oysters now. It's all about Nate Cowboy Enterprises. We have now Nate Cowboy Oysters or Nate Cowboy Scallops. Nate Cowboy Oyster is number one selling oyster in the country. So somebody was putting a name on something, and they already had distribution. Mm. You know what I mean? So they were just able to change the name. People know the name, and it was very complimentary association. And we've had hundreds of people. naked cowboy shoes, naked cowboy. They think, oh, they love me, they like me, but they don't have distribution, and it doesn't just necessarily catch fire like the oysters did.
Right.
And now we've had naked cowboy wines, a Sauvignon Blanc, and a Viognier, that naked winery, but they since have stopped selling our wines because they were number one on Amazon, and right after we signed the deal, Amazon just decided to stop selling wines. Why? Because wine comes to the door. Maybe a kid ordered it. You know, it's a complicated thing. But we have other liquor deals in the mix, and we just keep working. So from my point of view, I'm just trying to get as many people to see me as possible, which is why I'm in a very populous place mm-hmm. with a lot of tourists. Mm-hmm. And I do interviews and everything from all over the world. And I go home. I usually go home for Taste of Cincinnati, Oktoberfest, WBN Fireworks, Christmas. That's usually the four I go through.
Right.
But either way, I'll go home no matter what because my brother, my whole family's there.
Oh, so. And are they still in Green Hills?
My dad's in Green Hills. My brother's in Mason. My little brother. My older brother's in Greensburg, Indiana.
Oh, okay.
His wife is from Rushville.
Do you have a favorite place in Ohio or someplace that you, whenever you
my
go back to?
My dad's house, which is going to be my house. Because my little sister and my older brother, who are my dad's natural kids, my dad's a multimillionaire. We won't see that money till he dies. So I don't know which one of us is going to kill him first, but no, we love him to death. But I'm just saying. Yeah. Our family, I don't know why. My grandparents, grandpa, they just keep the money till the end mm-hmm. and give it to the kids. I mean, it's just like tradition. They're mm-hmm. Germans.
All right. Huh. But you actually see yourself retiring back in Ohio? I mean,
I've always said when I'm done here, I'll go back to Ohio. But I still want to be so rich that I'm living in a penthouse, bringing all the police officers up there, you know, like really living like a real king. But I'm also, again, I've had a good run. I could do anything, you know?
Yeah.
I'm very Eastern and Western, how you say, again, Ram Dass I'm reading last night and, the Maharshi, you know, like, give it all up, be nobody, you know, and that's very comforting.
Yeah.
But I'm also very, I'm not done till I'm done.
Yeah. You know? What do you think, Robert, was what would you say about growing up in Ohio that had a unique impression on you that helps you do what you do today?
Well, I would go back to the fact that my parents were divorced.
Okay.
I lived in a small town.
Okay.
And because of my mother being a big softy and all, and made apologies or an acceptance for anything we ever did, mm-hmm. she ultimately became, she wasn't a teacher. She was like a student's aid kind of thing that dealt with the worst kids ever.
Oh, yeah.
And she, he's in jail. He shot 10 people. He's okay. She was so, and we'd see him
we
on
used
the
to
news.
Call them. We used to call them the narcs. The narcs, they would, you know, roam the high school hallways and they would write kids up
again,
for various infractions and things.
Yeah, again, I was always against that. But like I said, I was the worst kid around, in some ways. But whatever. My point is that because I had complete liberty to do whatever I wanted because my mother was such a softie,
mm-hmm.
I did whatever I never felt restricted in any way, shape, or form.
Wow.
And I think that also my father, he divorced my mother early. He mm-hmm. I'll do whatever, you know, he's been married 5 times. I'll do whatever I want. You know, every woman wants to marry a man and then change him. But my dad would never change. And now, in my older age, my dad's the smartest, most diligent, most, you know, conscientious man in the world. I love him with all my heart and soul. He's the best. You should actually be interviewing him.
Mm.
But he's very awesome. So my point was, as a young kid, I think just not having any rules, it allowed me to be pretty much an animal, crazy kid. But my dad on the background always made me conscious of it. So I like to see myself as a rebel.
Mm-hmm.
I do whatever I want. Nobody's telling me what to do. You can live your dreams. I want to impact, influence, motivate, and inspire every person on this earth. If you believe in yourself, you just do it. But that's that's a narrow line to walk, and not many people get to do it. But it's not only, like I say, risk and responsibility. I go all the way out every day, but I don't lose the responsibility. I don't want to disappoint my father, my brothers, my sister,
right.
my grandparents, or their dad. I want to be successful, and I want to push the envelope so other people do. But at the same time, I'm not,
Yeah.
I'm crazy. But I'm not that crazy.
No, I want to just say, Robert, really, you hit on what the heart of this whole project is about. Because it's about giving people, young kids that are growing up in Ohio today, and I think a lot of us that grew up there are like, I remember myself saying, I'm stuck here. Why do I have to be in Ohio? I want to be living in New York. I want to be able to go into the city for auditions. I want to be able to, and I'm in Ohio. And, I'm so glad you shared your story with us, because I want that kid or girl that's sitting in Ohio now thinking, God, how am I going to get out of this place? What am I going to do? How am I going to do it? You know, and to give them a sense of how other people from Ohio have made their mark, their impression, their contribution. So thank you very much for sharing that.
You can see. Look, I'm turning the light.
Yeah.
I got chills from head to toe. But let me also say
true.
This. One caveat.
Yeah.
Now I'm living the dream.
You are.
I live in Queens.
Yeah.
I come here every day.
Yeah.
100%. My wife does. She paints my underwear.
And we're sitting in your Lexus, by the way. So.
Well, I got a first-class life doing what I do.
Yeah.
But every morning, 9 out of 10. Mm-hmm. I go to bed around 9. I wake up midnight. I roll around for 8 hours. I can't sleep. What about this? What about this? I got this celebrity boxing. What if he punches me in the face? What if he breaks my jaw? Mm-hmm. What about my nose? I'm just saying, that's just that.
Mm-hmm.
But I literally feel, and I tell my wife, I love it, but I feel trapped. I have not missed a day since the beginning of Corona, except for going down to Daytona. I got on 95 South, took 14 hours, worked Daytona Beach, got arrested. That was a major story, getting arrested in Daytona. Google it. You'll see it's like a biggest story
I've ever
had.
Oh, yeah, I saw it.
Then I went
it.
To Siesta Key after 40 hours of jail time, came back, had a hero's welcome, came back, then the body cams came out. I'm just saying, it was only about 12 days I was gone. I've been here every single day since. And my wife said, just take the day. I can't. Because every day I get up, I read my monsters, I read my journal, I spend 2 hours in my journal, then I go legit. Every one of my habits, everything I do, makes me come here. There's no excuse I haven't already defeated. I don't quit. Winners never quit. Quitters never win.
What's the nicest thing that's ever happened to you in Times Square as far as doing it?
I met Phil from Cincinnati and I did a podcast.
Oh, Youngstown. Youngstown.
Whatever. Youngstown. Same shit. Ohio. Bunch of Buckeyes.
Anything, any last words for the folks back in Ohio?
Long live the king.
Thank you for taking the time to be with us today. That concludes this episode of From Ohio. I'm your host, Bill Smrek, and this is the podcast where the state's most intriguing people's stories are told. If you know of anyone that you feel would be a great guest for our show, please be in touch. And O-H-I-O, please get the word out and let your friends and family know about our show. Thank you for joining us again, and we'll see you on the next episode of From Ohio.